Tonight, Mr. Michael Redgrave stars in The Return of the Native from Studio One at CBS.
Nastasia, I want to know everything about you. Oh, my darling, you're so beautiful.
As beautiful as the women of Paris?
Oh, you put them quite to shame.
And you... you don't believe that I am a witch?
No witch could ever be so beautiful.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories and plays and special versions for listening. And now, to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
The bare heaths and wind-washed moors of rural England have often appeared as a backdrop in the works of her writers. But in addition to a magnificent natural setting, there is a kinship with nature and a tenderness with human frailty that characterized Thomas Hardy's brooding and powerful novel, The Return of the Native. Mr. Hardy sets his stage on the heaths and in the villages of his beloved Wessex, in some corner of which lived the traditionary King Lear. And here is unfolded the tempestuous romance of a young man returning to his native village from a sojourn in Paris and a girl accused of witchcraft. It is a story that becomes a living symbol of the universal struggle of existence. Tonight, to play Klim Yobright, the returning native, we are pleased to welcome back to Studio One an international star of stage and screen, Mr. Michael Redgrave. And with Mr. Redgrave, you'll be hearing Miss Renee Ray as Eustacia, with Hedley Rennie as Damon and Everett Sloan as the Reddleman. Please to begin. Egdon Heath. It was a place perfectly accordant with man's nature. Neither ghastly, hateful, nor ugly. Neither commonplace, unmeaning, nor tame. But like man, slight-hitted and enduring. And withal singularly colossal and mysterious in its swarthy monotony. As with some persons who have lived long apart, solitude seemed to look out of its countenance. It had a lonely face, suggesting tragical possibilities. On an evening in 1840, the cart of Diggory Venn, a Reddleman, clatters across Egdon Heath. The old man's only passenger is the returning native, Klim Yobright.
It's good to see the Heath again, Diggory. 7 years since Michaelmas I left here.
Aye, Master Klim. There's nowhere like it. No place so cruel, neither.
Oh, every place in the world can be cruel, Diggory.
Even Paris?
Paris? Oh, she can be cruelest of all. She wears her jewels like a wanton and breaks a man's heart in the bargain.
You don't look, sir, like a man whose heart's been broken.
That's because I haven't yet given it to anyone. My heart's right here, Diggory, in these stones and the soil this cart is rolling over. Oh, I'm weary of being a diamond merchant.
But you're a fine gentleman now, Master Klim. Aye, it's good indeed to have you coming home. I should be too proud to ride with a poor Reddleman.
Too proud?
Well, folks don't want much to do with a man who peddles red dye. I'm stained from my head to my feet with it. You're a fine gentleman, Master Klim.
If either of us is stained by our trade, Diggory, it is I. But we'll know more of that. Wait, hold the cart.
Whoa there!
Who's that? Standing up on the point with the telescope.
That's the newcomer, Miss Vi.
Vi?
Yeah, they took the hill cottage since your time. A sea captain and his granddaughter. That's her up yonder.
How straight she stands. With the wind blowing her cape and her hair. It's like the spirit of the heath come alive. She's magnificent.
That's not what they say in the village.
No? What do they say in the village?
It's not my way to tell tales, Master Klim, but they do say this girl bewitches people.
Oh, do they indeed? Start up the cart, Diggory.
Have I said anything to offend you, Master Klim? It was the others who called her a witch, not me.
I went away to escape talk like that.
You'll be hearing a great deal more of it, Master Klim.
I'll hear what I want to, Diggory, and believe what I want. And I'll never believe that that girl is a witch.
It seems I haven't had a real chance to talk to you.
I know, Mother, but that's because you keep the house so full of people. What about this party tonight? I hear the mummers will be coming.
I fear they'll seem very rustic to you after the pleasures of Paris.
Well, they'll seem quite wonderful, as if I were a boy again. Tell me, will everybody on the heath be here to see them?
Well, almost everybody.
I'm told there's a new family living in the hill cottage.
Yes, I believe so.
A sea captain and his granddaughter.
So I've heard.
You've heard, Mother dear? I'm told they've lived here 3 years now. Long enough for the superstitious to revive that old heath rumor that the girl is a witch.
A charitable explanation.
What do you mean by that?
She may not be a witch, but she's evil. There's talk about her. There was even gossip about her and your cousin Tamsin's husband before they married.
You know this girl?
I know what they say about her, and I believe every word of it. Ah, here come the mummers. Bid the lads welcome them. Bid the lads welcome.
So we've shown St. George's play upon this Christmas time. We bid you cheer and bless your year. So saying, we are done.
Now, lads, we'll feed you a hearty supper. You all deserve it. Klim, Klim, where is Klim? We'll go ahead, lads. My son will be here presently. Come, let us have supper.
Boy, don't go away, boy.
I wasn't leaving, sir. I just came out here for some air.
Oh, don't blame you for that. As I remember, nothing on earth is as stifling as a mummer's costume. You better take off your cap and mask.
No, oh, no. I'll keep it on for a bit.
That's as you wish. I was a mummer myself as a boy, but, well, I always remember wanting food more than fresh air.
Did you?
As a matter of fact, that's why most of us went mumming. Good fun and good food.
We will have a fine supper here tonight.
You don't sound like a heath lad.
Don't I?
You're taller, too.
Yes, and now, if you'll excuse me,
I don't believe I will excuse you.
Why not?
I've just had the most curious notion about you.
About me?
You know, this heath's a strange place. They say that when the mists rise, you can see all sorts of things in them. And as I look at you and listen to your voice, I have a peculiar feeling you're not a mummer at all.
I am. Believe me.
You're more like a girl.
What if I were?
You are a girl, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Take off your mask.
All right. There you are.
You are indeed a girl, and quite beautiful. Why did you come here?
I did it for a lark. One must do something on this heath, or go mad.
Who are you?
If I tell you, you'll have no more to do with me, like all the others.
No. Now I know who you are.
Do you?
Oh, not from what you said, but from the way you stand. I saw you on Barrow Point the day I came home, standing like that, with your hair flowing back. You're Miss Vi.
Klim, our guests are waiting supper. Where are you?
Oh, I'm just out here. I'll be right in. Come in and meet my mother.
No, I must go. Right.
May I see you again?
Do you want to?
I want to very much. I do indeed.
My dear, these 3 weeks have passed so quickly, and you said you could stay only a fortnight.
And I'm going to stay a bit longer.
I wondered. Yesterday, two large boxes came for you from London. I had them carried up to your room.
Yes, I saw them. Thanks.
I can't help but be curious.
Well, there's nothing secret about them, Mother. They're books.
Books?
I picked them up on my way through London. I had them sent here instead of to Paris.
I see. Klim, is there some other reason beside a vacation that keeps you here? Eager as I am to have you, I know you have a responsible position waiting in Paris if you overstayed your leave.
I shan't overstay, Mother.
The heath, you know, can work strange spells on a person. You could stay too long, Clem.
You can never stay too long where you're happy, Mother.
And you are happy here?
Yes. I'm happier than I've ever been in my whole life.
I thought you were never coming.
Well, I couldn't leave Mother abruptly just after dinner.
This is very difficult for you, isn't it?
Difficult? No. No, I've never known such peace as these hours we've walked the heath together, you and I.
And yet, you don't like keeping things from your mother.
I wish you'd come and meet her.
No, Clem, I won't do that. Not ever. Our friendship will not be hurt by anyone. I won't let it be.
If you only knew her.
I know the people of the heath. I know how they hate me, how they judge me. Clem, let's not talk about them. Let's walk and walk. And you can tell me about Paris.
Paris? Eustacia, that's all you ever ask me about.
Why shouldn't I? I've been a prisoner and suddenly you've opened a window.
A prisoner? Not here, no. Paris is where you're a prisoner, selling your soul and your heart and your mind, to please your master's customers.
What is the matter? If at night you can hear music and visit the cafes and...
It matters a great deal, if you could only understand.
Sometimes you talk to me as if I were a child.
Oh, I think you are. A child who sees a big glittering toy in a shop window.
I'm no child, Clem. I've not been a child since my mother died. I came here because there was no place else for me to go. My grandfather took me in. For 3 years I've walked this heath, and in 3 years of loneliness, you can grow up.
Forgive me, Eustacia. It's only that I'm trying to understand you. I want to know everything about you. Oh, my darling, you're so beautiful.
As beautiful as the women of Paris.
Oh, you put them quite to shame.
And you don't believe that I am a witch?
No witch could ever be so beautiful. When I hear that word, I want to blast away all the ignorance and stupidity and black superstition from this corner of the world and curse all the people who say it.
It does not hurt me, being called a witch.
It hurts me. When I came back here for my vacation, I was confused. I was hunting for something I hadn't found in Paris. My work there seemed frivolous, my life completely useless.
What do you mean, Clem?
I was lost until I found you. I don't know what's ahead for me, for us. But I do know one thing. I love you, Eustacia. I love you.
Clem.
And you love me, too. I can see it in your eyes. I can hear it in your voice.
Clem.
You do, don't you? Say that you do.
Yes, Clem. I do love you.
Oh, my darling. I've prayed to hear that.
All right, half and half, Bub.
You shall have it, Grandpa. You shall have it.
Thank you. Something for you, Damon?
Don't mind a bit, Grandpa. Just came by the tavern, thought I might see my wife's elegant Paris cousin, Master
Clem?
Yobright.
No, Clem, he doesn't come in here now.
Where does he spend his time, Grandpa?
Well, they say he's out walking with her every day, Eustacia Vye, in plain sight for any man to see.
I wish him joy of it.
Now, maybe you got Eustacia might wrong, Damon. You know, she was in church last Sunday. First time in 3 years.
She'll trot in harness until she gets the bit in her teeth. However, you interest me.
Yeah?
Just for old time's sake, I'd like to see the beauty again. Yes, I'd like to see you, Stacia.
Ah, now, don't you go to making trouble, Damon.
Oh, never mind telling Clem I was looking for him.
We've become such silent people these weeks. Almost strangers.
Have we, Mother? I didn't realize.
Don't you know how much you keep to yourself?
I've been trying to think things out.
You've spent so much time on the heath. Even Tamsin says you haven't been to see them and she's going to have a baby, you know.
Yes, I heard.
Clem, what is troubling you?
Well, I might as well tell you, Mother. I've made up my mind. I'm not going back to business.
Oh, Not going back?
Not to Paris.
Clem, you must go back to Paris. I've built my whole life around your future.
Yes, I know you have, and I don't want to disappoint you.
But you'd rather please someone else, is that it?
What do you mean?
I mean Eustache de Vy.
Oh.
I was afraid of this. Something in my heart told me that you two must not meet. I prayed it wouldn't happen, and then when it did, I prayed you'd soon go back to Paris. But Eustache is stronger than I. She's evil.
You talk like a Heath woman.
Heath woman? Are you ashamed of your own kind?
I'm ashamed when you talk such black ignorance as that.
Listen to me, son. A woman knows these things in her heart. Eustache is evil, selfish, cruel. She will ruin you. Go back to Paris, I beg of you. Go back.
Hello, Auntie. Clem, how lucky to find home.
Hello, Tamsin.
Auntie, you're looking pale. Are you quite well?
Of course, my dear. And delighted to see you. But where is Damon?
He's delayed. He may not come today at all.
Let me take your cloak, Tamsin.
No, thank you. I can't stay.
Is anything wrong, Tamsin? Where is Damon?
He took Eustache Vy home after church.
Eustache?
Didn't you hear what happened in church this morning?
No. Well, what is it?
Right in the middle of the sermon. Just when Mr. Bartlett was lifting up his arms, all inspired, Eustache let out a terrible scream.
What? Eustache scream?
It would curdle your blood. It went through that church like it would wake the dead.
Well, what happened to her? Why did she scream?
Well, you know, for some weeks now, Susan Nunthatch's little boy Tommy has been ailing. And Susan's certain a spell has been laid on him.
Oh, Tamsin.
Oh, yes, she is, Clem. It's the only way Susan can explain it. She was certain it was Eustache.
Go on.
Well, they say if you draw the living blood of a witch in church, it will remove the spell.
Oh, good heavens.
Eustache never went to church until last week. So this morning, Susan waited. And when Eustache came in, she sat beside her. Then in the middle of the sermon, Susan took a hatpin and jabbed it straight into Eustache's arm.
Oh, in heaven's
horrible.
Name.
It was horrible. Eustache screamed and fainted. And everybody started to talk and shriek all at once. And Damon got her out and took her home.
That was kind of him, most kind.
Mother.
What is it, Clem?
Do you believe this terrible nonsense?
What nonsense?
Well, do you believe in witches?
Well, not witches, perhaps, but there are evildoers.
Tamsin, on your word, do you really believe Susan's boy was bewitched?
Of course not. He was sick, and nobody knew why.
I have my answer. Well, this has helped me to decide. I thought this thing went out of England 300 years ago. Excuse me, Mother.
Where are you going?
You know very well where I'm going. I'm going where I belong. With Eustache.
Really, I am.
Well, how can you be all right? That scene in church must have scarred your very soul as it did your arm.
It's no more than I expect from the people of the Heath.
It isn't the Heath, Eustache. God made this land to be strong and beautiful. It's the ignorance, the helplessness of people who've never had a chance to look above it.
Oh, don't let's talk about it anymore, Clem. Let's talk about us. Haven't you had enough of books and study? For weeks you've closed yourself up with them. What about your job?
My job can wait.
And Paris?
Paris can wait, too. Eustache, I mean to grow. Right here on the Heath. Grow with learning and knowledge. So that I can wipe out the sort of thing that happened to you today.
Wipe it out? Why should we do that? Let's leave it, Clem. Let's go where it can't happen. Where it can't harm us.
Running away from evil is never the answer.
I don't understand you.
You don't need to. Just trust me. For a long time, I've been groping. But now, I know what I must do.
What must you do?
I must help people. Teach them.
Teach?
Yes, a schoolmaster, if you will.
You? A schoolmaster?
And you, to help me.
Oh, Clem, if it weren't so tragic, it would be very funny. This morning, I'm stabbed in the arm. This afternoon, my very hopes dissolving.
Oh, Eustache, you don't understand. We could have the richest life in the whole world. A school here, perhaps. Well, even London. We could travel and study.
Travel, Clem?
Oh, trust me, Eustache. If we love each other, we shall make a Paris out of any place in the world, any place at all.
What does your mother say to this fine plan?
My mother doesn't know it as yet.
Nor does she know me, except to hate me.
You don't know her, either.
Clem, a man's mother and his wife are natural enemies. Nothing a man can do will ever change that.
I'm going to prove you're wrong, my darling. My mother's lonely. She's ambitious for me, but she is just. You'll like each other.
How are you going to arrange that?
I'm going to bring her here tomorrow at 4 to meet you, Eustacia.
You haven't forgotten our signal, Eustacia.
Damon, what are you doing up here at Barrow's Point?
Watching you. You've been waiting quite a while.
And what have?
You made quite a picture against the sky. It recalls how you waited for me in this very spot so many times.
Oh, Damon, that was long ago. It's ended now.
Does your handsome Clem know it's ended?
He knows nothing. Not about us. Why should he? That's all in the past. You're married to another girl now.
And why? Why am I married? Only because you wouldn't have me. Because I was just a common Heath man to you.
Why have you followed me up here?
I haven't been able to get you out of my mind. Not since the day I brought you home from church. You were so lovely. So pale and helpless.
Just because you helped me that awful day doesn't give you any right to come here.
My rights are older than that. I had thought I could put you out of my mind, but I'd forgotten how a man's will can be weakened when he hears another is interested in his woman.
I am not your woman. I never was. That was a summer madness.
Was it? You should have married me, Eustacia. I understand you.
Do you? I don't think so. No, Damon. You could never understand me.
So it's to be Clem instead. He might have been a catch as a successful diamond merchant, but now he's a rather poor catch.
How dare you talk like this?
Now that you've caught him, Eustacia... It'd be an odd joke if you left out your days as the wife of a poor schoolmaster.
I love Clem. He will give me the kind of life I want, whatever it may be.
I hope you're right.
I know I'm right. Clem wants to study for a while. Let him. He will get it out of his system. And then, Damon, we shall live as you have never dreamed.
I wish you every happiness, my dear. But if by chance you don't find it, I shall be at your service.
Dearest.
Oh, where have you been, Clem? I was afraid you weren't coming.
I was delayed.
Where is your mother?
She has a headache.
Don't lie to me, Clem. She refused to meet me. Is that what you have to tell me?
Give her time, Eustacia. She's no longer young.
But I am young. And so my life is to be ruined by an old woman who wants to keep her son.
My dearest.
Your mother hates me. She believes all the gossip, the witch stories.
Eustacia, please.
She's turning you against me. I can see it in your face. Your slow steps up the hill.
That's not true.
Clem.
Yes, my mother did refuse to come, but that's nothing to do with us, nothing. Eustacia, will you marry me?
Marry you?
Yes,
Clem?
At once, as soon as we can get a license.
Oh, Clem, not so soon, not just yet.
Why not?
You wanted to study. That will cost money.
Well, I have a little save. We can live in one of the Heath cottages until I finish my studies.
A Heath cottage?
I'll make you happy, darling.
How long shall we live in a Heath cottage, Clem?
Well, 6 months at the most.
I don't know what my grandfather would say.
Would he object?
He might. If I had to live in a Heath cottage more than 6 months.
Well, it'll only be for a little while, my darling. I promise.
Clem, I love you. I do, I do. But all of a sudden, I have a sense of danger.
Oh, you're imagining things again. Please, set the day for our wedding. Set it now. Not more than a fortnight away. And when we're married... Well, can anything touch us, my darling? Can anything touch us?
Good morrow, ma'am.
It's good of you to cross the heath to see a lonely woman. Since my son was married, there have been so few people.
I'm on my way to Kingsbere. They're wanting Reddle for the fair.
What news do you bring?
I passed Wildeve's patch. Your niece, ma'am, looks fine. The baby's a joy to her.
I saw Tamsin yesterday. You bring other news?
Your son, ma'am.
Yes. What about him?
Every time I pass his cottage, he asks for you.
Then why doesn't he come to see me?
Tis your own kind of pride, ma'am. Anger is a mighty poor substitute for love.
It is not pride, Diggory. It's that woman. She's laid a spell on him as surely as she did on Susan Nonsuch's child.
She seems gentle enough. Quiet, too. Sitting with her hands folded in the garden.
Doing nothing all day long.
And your son, ma'am, does enough for two. His candle burns through half the night. And you never see him without a book in his hand, his finger marking the place.
Is he working too hard?
He has the look of a man seeing farther through a millstone than most.
I would like to talk with my son.
Why don't you, ma'am?
Don't ask me, Diggory.
If it would help him.
He's but 4 miles across the heath. Yet I've lost my son as surely as if he were dead.
Clem.
Yes, darling.
The moon is rising. The sky is all agate and silver.
Yes.
It's like a great shell. Could you touch the other edge? You would find the treasure of the world in it. What do you wish for, Clem? Clem.
What is it, Eustacia?
Have you heard anything I've said?
No, not quite, but... Oh, there, my darling, I've finished the chapter. What is it?
The chapter. Finish the chapter. Oh, Clem, in the name of heaven, is our whole life to be ruined by chapters? Tea? When I finish the chapter. Your boots polished? When I finish the chapter. Kiss me, Clem. When I finish the chapter.
Oh, darling, please.
Oh, don't.
Is it so very hard for you?
How could it be otherwise? I've dreamed so much for us.
I only asked for 6 months.
Only 2 of them have passed, and it seems a year.
I've neglected you. It's true. I wanted to get so much done, but... so that you shouldn't have to live here too long. You know I love you. You do know that.
I know.
You're lonely. If you had company...
Who? Tamsin? Prattling to her baby?
Well, if you could only make up with my mother.
I make up? How could I? She didn't even come to our wedding.
Yes, but she's alone. You could afford to be generous.
Oh, Clem, there, I will do many things for you, but not this. Your mother hates me. What's the matter?
It's nothing. Nothing at all.
You shook your head so curiously.
Well, the candle flickering startled me.
The candle didn't flicker. There isn't a breath of air in this room.
It didn't flicker? Well, it's flickered now. It's almost out.
Clem, it isn't. Look, I'm holding it right in front of you.
I can't quite see it. It's getting dark. Dark.
Clem!
I can't see anything but a faint light. Eustacia!
What's happened? What's happened to you?
My eyes are blurred.
Look at me!
I can't see anything. Eustacia! Help me! Help me!
From Studio One, Radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Mr. Michael Redgrave starring in The Return of the Native, a version for listening by Margaret LeWorth, based on the Thomas Hardy novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full hour of dramatic entertainment. Mr. Michael Redgrave stars in Fletcher Markle's production of The Return of the Native.
Speak up, Doctor. Either I shall see again or I shan't. But in the name of heaven, tell me.
You shall see again, my boy.
Thank God.
But it'll be a long and slow process. You see, you have a serious inflammation brought on by eye strain and study by candlelight. Now, if you attempt to put any further strain on your eyes, you may lose your sight forever.
What am I to do?
Keep the bandages on night and day.
For how long?
Well, at least a fortnight. Then, perhaps, in a month, you might venture out into the daylight.
A month? When can I go back to my books?
Well, if all goes well, you may be able to study again in a year.
A year?
Yeah. I don't believe you, Doctor. I won't believe you.
Whoa! Whoa there! Oh, Master Yobert, it's good to see you out.
It's my first week in 2 months, dearie.
I've been up north country. I just heard what happened. You've had a bad time of it indeed.
Oh, 2 months in darkness. No man knows what that is until he's lived through it.
It's left its mark, I can see. You don't look like yourself, Mr. Yobright.
I suppose I have changed a bit. A man without a purpose now, that's what I am.
What do you mean?
You see, you have a wagon, Diggory, and your work, and I had books, but, well, I don't have them anymore.
Aye, all the learning in the world don't help when you can't read it. Now, if only you worked with your hands.
Yes, that's it. I was always too proud to work with my hands, Diggory. Look at them, white as a woman's.
You mustn't blame yourself for that, lad. What you need is work, hard work. Now, if only you knew something about woodcutting, for instance.
Woodcutting?
It's hard and thorny work, Mr. Yobright, cutting wood on the heath. It tears at your flesh and wearies your muscles.
How much does a man get for wood?
Half a crown for 100 faggots.
Well, a man could live on that, couldn't he? If he worked hard enough.
Aye, there's many that do. Many that do.
That would be twisting the tale of fate, wouldn't it? Clem Yobright, pride of the heath, come home to be a woodcutter.
You're feeling better, aren't you, Clem?
I am today.
I'm glad of that. I didn't know you could whistle about our troubles.
Oh, it's one way to bear them. Today, I've discovered how I'm going to help myself.
There's nothing you can do, nothing.
You're wrong, my darling. I can prove it. By sundown, I shall be richer by 5 crowns.
What are you talking about, Clem? You can't work?
Look, in that corner.
What are those things?
Those are leather leggings I borrowed from Diggory. A hat and a short-handled scythe. All marks of my new trade.
What new trade?
I'm going to be a furze cutter.
Wood cutting? But, Clem, that's the work of a laborer, a peasant. The lowliest work on the heath.
It's honest pay for a day's work.
First a Paris gentleman, then a schoolmaster, then an impoverished student, and now a woodcutter. Clem, can you sink any lower?
I could be a parasite living off others.
And what shall I do while you're working on the heath? Pretend I don't know? Turn my head when the villagers pass? I dressed this afternoon with such high hopes.
Hopes? For what?
That you would take me to the gypsy fair at Anglebury.
I didn't even know there was a fair.
How could you? You don't know there are such things anymore. Dancing, music.
It's been an unhappy time for you, hasn't it?
It isn't your eyes, Clem. It's your moods. You seem to be growing deeper into the heath every day. But I won't interfere. Go, cut your wood. Grovel in the heat and the dirt.
Stacia, listen to me.
All I want. I'll go to the fair alone. I'll pretend for a little while.
Pretend what?
That you love me enough to give me the life I want.
Hi,
everyone. Hi, everyone.
Lavender and Heliotrope.
penny sack, a little one.
All right, now choose your mark.
Will you dance, Eustacia?
Damon.
Surprise, isn't it?
Is Tamsin here?
Tamsin? Her only interest is the baby. You look very lovely.
Do I? I just came for a few minutes to see the dancing.
And your husband?
He's at home.
Then what's to stop us from dancing?
Oh, no, Damon. We mustn't be seen together.
Oh, see us. I remember how you used to dance, light as a swallow.
No, I can't, really.
Oh, come,
no.
Eustacia. It was an act of fate that brought us here. After all, I haven't seen you since you were married.
No.
We're still drawn to each other. I can see it in your face.
No. Oh, no.
Are you afraid of me?
Of course not.
Oh, I say, come on, take your part. Hurry up there, young man.
Fate is ordering us, Eustacia.
Oh, Damon, would it be very wrong?
What harm can it do?
No harm. None at all.
Come then, let us dance. Tired, Eustacia?
Ah, a little. It's a long walk across the heath.
The moon is rising.
Yes.
It was a wonderful day.
I had forgotten what it is like to be alive.
You shan't forget again. Will you?
No, Damon. These were stolen hours. We must forget them.
Listen to me, Eustacia. You and I belong to each other. It's always been that way. You know it as well as I.
Oh, Damon, you mustn't talk like this.
No, listen to me. Believe me. There's a way out for both of us.
What do you mean?
I can't tell you now. There isn't time. And I wouldn't tell you before because I wasn't sure. Now I'm certain. Very certain.
I don't understand.
Let me see you tomorrow. I'll explain.
I can't. Not tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 3. Your husband, the woodcutter, will be out.
Damon! Look. Look down the slope, coming up the path.
I see.
It's Klim. With somebody else. Coming to meet me.
Who is it?
It's a man who hates me. He's a friend of Klim's mother. It's the Riddleman.
They can't see you up here.
Klim can't, but the other one can. Oh, leave me, Damon. Leave me.
But what about tomorrow?
I don't know.
I'll be there, my sweet. Tomorrow at 3.
Diggory, do come in.
Can I talk to you, ma'am?
Of course. Is something wrong?
There could be.
Something about Klim?
Yes. Have you been to see him?
I haven't been to that house, but I've walked to the doctor's in Englebury every day for news of him. Is my son worse?
No, he's not worse.
Are you trying to tell me there's trouble in that house?
Not yet, ma'am, but there could be. I saw it last night on the heath.
Saw what?
Saw that they need you, ma'am. They need you bad. Both of them. She needs you, too.
If that were so, I could forgive even her.
Then you'll go to them?
This afternoon.
I can take in the cart if you would, ma'am.
I think it would be better to go alone.
My dear.
Klim!
Why, you look surprised.
It's only 2:00. I didn't expect you this early.
Well, when a man starts to work at 4 in the morning, he can't stay much more than 10 hours. The sun gets too hot out there on the heath. Besides, I've my hard faggot's cut.
Oh.
And how was the fair? Did you enjoy yourself?
I stayed too long.
Oh, every muscle in me cries aloud. There, my boots are off. I shall stretch out on the hearth rug and sleep.
Here? In the front room?
Oh, I'm too dirty to sleep anywhere else, and I'm too tired to remove the dirt. So I'll sleep, curled up like a dog.
Klim, you can't stay here.
Why not?
Because it's not proper. Falling asleep like a sheepdog.
Oh, please, Eustacia.
You've got to go upstairs.
I couldn't climb a step.
Klim, is this to be the pattern of our days?
One day, my dearest, just one day at a time. The pattern will work itself out.
Oh. Klim! Klim!
Asleep like an animal.
Oh, Damon.
Right on the hour, my sweet.
I can't let you in. You must go.
What's the matter?
Clem's home. He's asleep.
Oh. Well, surely as your cousin-in-law, I'm permitted to call on you. Where can we talk?
Back in the pantry would be best. Then we can see out of the front windows. But he won't hear us.
Pantry it is.
What did you want to see me about?
This, first of all.
Oh, Damon, you mustn't kiss me. He may wake up any moment.
I don't think so. Eustacia, you madden me. The whiteness of your throat.
Is that what you came to tell me?
Part of it. I'll tell you the rest, my impatient one. Then you can tell me how well you chose a woodcutter for husband. Last Friday, a miracle happened.
A miracle?
I don't believe in them either. This came in the form of a letter from an uncle I haven't heard of or thought of for 20 years.
What was it about?
My good uncle, a family black sheep like myself, died in Canada and has left me his entire estate.
A large estate?
£11,000, Eustacia. Enough to buy the world.
£11,000?
Oh, that brings the light to your dark eyes, doesn't it? I've told no one, not even Clemson. I had but one thought.
And what was that?
You.
Me? Damon, I'm married, and so are you.
With £11,000, Eustacia, we can realize all of our dreams. You can have everything you'd hope for when you married Clem.
I loved Clem.
Once, not anymore. I discovered that last night at the fair.
Oh, you mustn't talk this way.
In the name of heaven, who's that?
I don't know. I look through the window. Oh.
Who is it?
It's Clem's mother.
What the devil does she want?
I don't know. She's never come here before.
I better go out through the garden.
No, she might see you. That would be worse.
Aren't you going to let her in?
Why should I? Clem's in the front room. He can hear her. She's his mother.
Clem isn't waking.
Well, then let her knock. She's always hated me. She can wait until I'm ready.
They're no match for you, my sweet. Neither Clem nor his mother. Say you'll go with me to London.
Oh, Damon, I don't know. I must have time. At least a little time.
Meet me tomorrow on the heath at the old place.
I'll have to open the door now.
Tomorrow on the heath.
Oh, all right. Tomorrow. No, stay here, Damon. I want her to know that I'm not afraid of anything. Damon.
What is it?
She's not here.
Where did she go?
I don't know. And Clem's still asleep. Nobody's here.
She wouldn't run off like that.
But she has. She's gone. And I didn't let her in. Damon, I'm frightened.
Well, the day's cooled a bit. I'm hungry as a bear.
Did you have a good sleep?
I haven't slept like that since I was a lad, Eustacia. With enough work and sleep, I'll fool the doctors yet.
I hope so.
Anybody here while I was asleep?
Why, of course not. Whoever calls on us.
You know, I had such a vivid dream. Most strange.
A dream? What kind of dream?
It was so real, I can almost swear it really happened.
I thought you didn't believe in things like that.
It was about my mother.
Your mother?
I dreamed she came here. She was calling me. Calling me, and I couldn't reach her.
As if she would ever come here.
I heard her knocking at the door through my sleep.
I didn't hear any knocking. I was in the back garden.
As I said, it was only a dream, but I could see her as if she was standing here. Stacia, I've left Mother too long.
It seems to me she's you.
Yes, but I'm a man. It's up to me. I'd like to see her.
See her? When?
Right now.
Now? But the day's almost over.
Well, that'll make walking all the better.
Clem... Don't go to Bloom's End tonight.
Why not?
Oh, just that I ask it. Stay with me. We can sit in the garden. You can hold me in your arms. Oh, stay with me. Clem, please.
I don't understand you, Eustacia. It's been weeks since you wanted to spend any time with me. Long weeks.
Has it? Perhaps I've changed.
Oh, we've both changed. Well, this may be a new beginning. Yes, I'll go and see Mother and get it off my mind, and I'll come back to you, my darling, as fast as I can.
Thank you.
Hello, Tommy.
Wait for me, sir. Oh. You've got to help me. Please help me, sir.
What's the matter, Tommy?
There's a poor woman lying down in the break and below here.
A woman?
Yes. Yes, I'll show you over here. This way, Mr. Yobright. This way, please, sir. Yes,
there is someone there.
She's off the pole, sir. Like she'd gone toward the pond. There.
Mother!
Mrs. Yobright? Lord, yes, sir. And she looks awful gray.
It's Clem, my dear. Mother, speak to me. She's unconscious. Tommy, run and fill this hat with water. Then go to Bloom's End and get all the help you can.
Aye, sir.
Hurry, in the name of heaven, hurry!
Who's there?
Damon.
Eustacia. I didn't see you in the mist. What are you doing on the heath at this hour? It's almost dawn.
Clem went to see his mother. I couldn't sleep. I've been walking.
Then you haven't been home tonight.
I often walk on the heath in the night.
You don't know what's happened?
What? What is it? Something's wrong?
Eustacia, had you been home, you would have known earlier. Mrs. Yobright died this evening.
Died? Clem's mother? How? Where?
Clem found her on the path to Bloom's End, unconscious. She died shortly after. Her heart.
But she was strong. On the path? Damon!
Be calm, Eustacia. Only you and I know she was at your cottage this afternoon.
I killed her. By not opening the door. You're telling me that.
What does it matter what killed her? No one knows. In a few days, you and I will be far away from here, gone from the heath forever.
I killed her!
Stop it, you little idiot. I tell you, no one knows.
But I know. And you know. You know.
No one killed her. She died from exhaustion. She'd no business taking that long walk. She didn't wait for you to open the door.
Stop it, Damon. Stop it. Your every word accuses me.
Get hold of yourself. No one will ever know. I'm your only friend now. And you're coming with me tomorrow.
Tomorrow? And the next day. And the next. It'll be there. I killed her. Leave me, Damon. Leave me alone. Leave me before I go mad.
Best go home now, lad.
I know. I must go to Eustacia. Yet I can't leave this house.
But it's cold and empty now.
Diggory, I go over and over it in my mind, but I don't understand it. Yesterday she was well and you say happy. Tonight...
It happens that way sometimes,
yes, but my
lad.
Mother was a strong woman. She was used to walking great distances on the heath, yet she died from exhaustion only half a mile from her house. You say yesterday she was happy. She was coming to see me.
I talked to her myself.
Tell me again, Diggory. Tell me how you saw her.
She looked bright. Her eyes were smiling. She was going to be reconciled to you. Oh. I offered to drive her in my cart, but she said no.
She would.
She started off alone, and I drove on up to Kingsbere.
Then, if she'd fallen, she must have been on the heath all day. Yet no one saw her until Tommy found her late in the afternoon.
Lad, you're torturing yourself. Can't you find some peace knowing she died forgiving you?
But she didn't. She died in my arms, angry and... bitter, she said, you closed the door. You've broken my heart. What does that mean?
Her mind was wandering back, lad.
I don't think so. There's something to this I don't understand. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out if there's anything in heaven or hell to explain my mother's death. Yes, Susan, what is it?
Mr. Yobright, sir, be you going home?
Yes.
It's my Tommy that there are spells on him again.
Now, I forbid you to talk that way.
He's a-twisting and a-turning with the fever, and he's calling for ye.
For me?
Aye, he wants to tell ye something.
Oh, what does he want to tell me, Susan?
Oh, sir, he keeps talking about the poor lady on the heath. The poor old lady.
My mother?
Aye, sir, I think so, sir.
I'll come with you now, Susan. All right, Tommy, I'm here.
I thought you'd never come, sir.
You've had a touch too much sun, lad.
I have something to tell you, Mr. Yobright.
Well, that's why I came.
About the poor lady, sir. I didn't tell you the truth up on the heath.
What didn't you tell me?
I seed her, sir, your mother, before she was a-fallen on the path.
Where did you see her, Tommy?
At your house.
What?
I was up there, sir, in the thicket.
Tommy, why didn't you tell me?
That's where you got the spell.
Susan, keep out of this. Now, go on, Tommy. This is very important. When did you see the lady?
I don't know for sure, sir. It was after I ate lunch. I was picking berries. I saw her go up the door, just after the gentleman.
The gentleman? What do you mean, me? You saw me when I came back from the first.
No, sir. No, not you, sir. A fine-dressed gentleman.
A gentleman, eh?
Well, go on, Tommy.
That's all, sir. The poor lady, your mother, went to the door. She stood there a long time, sort of leaning on it.
Did she knock?
Oh, yes, sir, yes. Again and again. And I saw her look out.
Her?
The witch lady, sir, with the black hair.
That's when she spelled E.
Is this the truth, Tommy?
My boy, don't lie, Mr. York.
You saw my mother knocking. You saw the lady at the window and... What happened?
The poor old lady went away, sir.
No. No, it can't be. It can't be. Eustacia! No!
Clem, thank heaven you're home. I wanted to go to you, but I didn't know where you'd be.
I've been with my mother.
Clem, why do you look at me so strangely?
You're pale, quite pale. Is it the secret we share?
Secret? I don't know what you're talking about.
Where is he, Eustacia? The one who kept you from opening the door to my mother?
What makes you say that?
It's true, isn't it? Yes, you back away. Your eyes stare at me. Where is this man? Who is he, Eustacia, who came here while I slept? The man who held you in his arms while my mother waited.
It's not true.
You killed my mother as surely as if you'd driven a knife into her heart.
No.
Why didn't you tell me she was here? Why didn't you tell me that knocking I heard was my mother begging for help?
Clem!
You didn't tell me because you wanted to protect him. So you turned her away. You let her die.
I didn't. I opened the door, but she had gone.
Then it's true.
Yes, it's true. Why shouldn't I tell you? She was here. She came to see you. Why didn't you wake up and let her in instead of sleeping like an animal in a sty?
You did this.
Kill me. Kill me if you will, Clem. I'm not afraid. I'd welcome death to this kind of life.
Would you welcome it to a life with Damon?
Clem!
It is Damon, isn't it? Damon, your lover before I met you. Damon, whom you met at the fair. Diggory's eyes are better than mine. Damon, who's taken to walking nights near Barrow's Point.
Stop
eh?
It.
Damon,
stop.
Who looks better to you than a poor woodcutter.
You don't know what you're saying.
You'll lure him to destruction just as you did me.
I didn't lure you. I loved you, Clem.
Love! Love. I loved you, but... The Heath people, in their ignorance, they knew you better.
What do you mean?
What does a witch know of love?
Clem!
A witch will betray a man and murder his mother. You go to your Damon, go to him. For that murder will always stand between you. When the spell wears off, you'll see it in each other's eyes. Murder.
You are mad.
Yes, I am. Mad from the books that teach you nothing. Mad from the love I once had for a woman who's a witch.
Let me go from here. Clem... Let me go. Now, tonight, I'll leave you. If I am a watcher, I am a woman. I am a woman, even if I'm a witch. Nobody will bind me to the heat. Nobody. I'll find my own way out. I'll give myself where I will.
Eustacia. Eustacia. Eustacia.
Albright.
Diggory. Diggory, help me.
What is it?
Eustacia, I drove her out. She's here somewhere on the heath in the storm.
Which way did she go?
She went toward Anglebury, Damon's.
I've just come that way now. There's no one on the road.
But she must have. Diggory, we've got to find her. She mustn't go to him.
Why do you want to stop her?
Because, God help me, I love her. I love her.
Mr. Albright, look. There's someone up on the rocks near the falls.
It's Eustacia. Eustacia.
She's on the ledge.
Eustacia, don't. Eustacia!
Crowd already for the service, Grandfer. I never saw so many.
Aye, aye, there's
people clear down to the ridge.
Do you think he'll really come?
Aye, so they say.
Aye, to think of him coming back to the Heath a preacher. Him that was such a dandy in Paris and all.
Now, you'd best forget everything that's gone before, lad. It's nearly a year since he left us.
They do say he's a changed man. Mm-hmm. First losing his mother, then his wife. He was clear off his head after he found Miss Eustacia floating the weir. I knew she was strange, but I never thought she'd do a thing like that. Jumping in the fall.
It is better to leave the dead buried, Charles. No, look, see. Oh, that's him coming now.
Diggory. Diggory, I'm afraid.
They're your friends, Clem.
Oh, I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of myself.
This is what you always wanted, isn't it? To be able to help the Heath people.
How can I preach when my heart's a heavy stone?
Lad, you mustn't think back. You mustn't.
How can I help it? My mother, I was too proud to go to her. And Eustacia, I was too proud to understand. God help me, I called her a witch. And now, they both lie dead.
But it's over. Over and finished.
Nothing's finished. Every day I hear their voices. Her cry from the ledge. But I'll make it up, Diggory. With God's help, I'll make it up. I'll drive away the ignorance from this heath, the cruelty, the fear. Pray for me, Diggory.
Aye, lad, I will.
My good friends, I want you to know I've come home to stay. The text for this, my first sermon, is the 26th verse of the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son."
From Studio One at CBS, you've just heard Mr. Michael Redgrave starring in Fletcher Markle's production of The Return of the Native by Thomas Hardy. Another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainments. Tonight's script was prepared by Margaret LeWorth, and the original music was scored by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Pepe Obright
was played, of course, by Mr. Redgrave.
Eustacia
was played by Rene Ray.
Damon
was Hedley Rennie.
Diggory, the Reddleman,
was played by Everett Sloan.
Mrs. Obright
was Miriam Wolfe.
Samson
was Molly Ballantyne.
Tommy
was played by Michael Artist. Mercer McLeod was the doctor. Naomi Campbell was Susan. Alan Devitt and Iva Francis assisted. Next week, Studio One will not be heard. In its place, there will be a special broadcast from the Republican National Convention in Philadelphia. But the following week, Tuesday, June the 29th, we'll be back with a love story set at the crossroads of the Middle East. A story as crowded and colorful as an Oriental bazaar. It's Jeffrey Household's new novel, Arabesque. And to star in Arabesque, we welcome one of Hollywood's most exotic personalities, a very wonderful actress, Miss Marlena Dietrich. We hope you'll be with us. That's 2 weeks from tonight. And now until Tuesday, June the 29th, until Arabesque, starring Marlena Dietrich, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Sandy Becker speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.